Hello, and welcome to CareerCast with the UW-Madison School of Education Career Center. I'm your host, Ella Chopic. In part four of our five-part series, we'll be talking about interviewing. In our first three episodes, we covered the parts of the job search cycle leading up to the interview, and today we'll go in-depth with Carrie and Sarah to learn the ins and outs, do's and don'ts of interviewing. Let's meet our Career Center guests.
Sarah Schaefer, and I'm a career consultant in the School of Education Career Center.
My name's Carrie Lee, and I'm also a career consultant at the School of Education Career Center.
Great. Thank you for being here with me, ladies. As I mentioned, this time we're going to be talking about the interview. From how you present yourself to how you answer questions, you are the star of an interview, and all eyes are on you. Today, we'll get some pointers from Sarah and Carrie on how we can showcase our best selves in an interview. But first, let's talk about what to wear. When deciding what to wear to an interview, be sure to keep the environment in mind. So a tech company on the West Coast would have a very different interview attire than an accounting firm on the East Coast. You'll always want to err on the side of being conservative because it only takes 7 seconds to develop a first impression. If you're still not sure what to wear, the Career Center advises formal professional attire or business casual attire at interviews. Don't forget you'll want neutral colored shoes, minimal jewelry, minimal makeup, and don't let your outfit distract from your skills, and don't bring any giant backpacks or purses. Try to only carry the minimum with you. Now let's talk about body language in an interview. Most of us don't think about our body language, but nonverbal communication is as important, if not more important, than verbal communication. Carrie, what can you tell us about body language in an interview?
So I think there's several things you want to think about, because when you first walk into a room for an interview, that first impression somebody makes of you is typically less than 10 seconds. So part of that is your attire. So what are you wearing? And then part of that is how are you presenting yourself? Are you walking into the room confidently with a smile, shaking people's hands, or are you kind of looking hesitant, walking into the room slowly? So you want to set the stage, be confident. And then when you're sitting, make sure you have good posture, you're making eye contact. You don't want to stare people down and be creepy, but you do want to make sure you're consistently making eye contact with all the interviewers, just because it helps them stay more engaged. And in addition, kind of be aware of your personal tics. So for example, I sometimes will mess with my watch. And I don't always notice that I'm doing that, but it's something other people can tell. Or if you know, I talk a lot with my hands, or I play with my hair when I'm nervous. So what are those tics, and kind of be intentional about managing them? Because it's okay, everybody gets a little bit nervous, but you just want to make sure you're projecting as much confidence as possible.
So the nonverbal portion of the interview comes down to being mindful of how you dress, how you hold yourself, and managing your personal tics. Now on to the verbal portion. I've heard you two talking about using the CAR or STAR method to answer questions. What are those?
So the CAR or STAR method that we always talk about with students is in relation to talking about behavior-based questions. So anytime you hear someone say, describe a situation when, or tell me about a time when, or if they ask typically two-part questions like, what is this and why did you do this or something like that? They're trying to get at behavior-based questions or behavior-based interviewing. And so we like to break it down in terms of answering those questions in the STAR method. So STAR stands for situation, task, action, and result. And the situation is, if you think about it, you're basically setting the stage. You're laying the foundation for what happened. The task is, what was your role? What duty were you assigned? And then the action is being, what did you do to move forward in that task or to complete it? And then the result. So what was the result of your action for that task in that situation? So they build off of one another, and then if you've answered it fully, you'd be able to go backwards through it as well.
CAR is just another way of the same thing. So it just stands for challenge, action, result.
So it's a method for responding
two questions that help you kind of systematically describe the situation that you experienced.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And employers like to ask those kind of questions because past performance is the best predictor of future performance. So that's one of the main reasons that those type of questions are asked in interviews.
So employers are looking to hear what you've done in the past, projects you've led, problems you've solved. And what they're listening for is how you make decisions and if how you think is a good fit for their organization.
What should you bring with you to an interview?
You always want to bring additional resumes and if they required cover letters or if you submitted a cover letter, always bring those documents with you. References, a list of those. Those are the typical things we'll recommend, but depending on who's applying for different positions, so if it's someone who's in graphic design or studio art or something, they're probably going to have a portfolio and they're going to want to have, you know, a portfolio with them so that they can show their artwork or their designs. Teachers, again, might also have a portfolio or printouts of their part of their electronic portfolio. So it really depends on who we're working with and what positions they're applying for in terms of the materials we would recommend. But typically, a standard response would be your resume, your cover letter, and your references.
I know more and more interviews are being done by phone or video call. Do you have any good pointers for those?
Some good tips that I know I like to recommend for telephone interviews especially is if you're someone who likes to talk with your hands or when you're talking with someone, you're engaged, don't sit in a chair. Because I know for me personally, if I'm sitting in a chair, I have a harder time staying engaged and feeling confident about what I'm saying. So if I'm moving around or standing at least so I can shift a little bit, I can feel myself smiling when I'm talking, which over the telephone you can hear as an employer. So that's one thing I always recommend to students, especially if you're someone who likes to move and be active, not sitting for a telephone interview, which is already hard enough because you can't gauge who you're interviewing with and their reactions to your responses. That's one big recommendation I usually have.
Yeah, I would say something else for phone interview is, I mean, you know, just the basic same thing for Skype. You always make sure you have good service. There's not going to be distractions, other noises in the background. And the other thing is to make sure you're very intentional when you're speaking, because sometimes people have a tendency to answer a question and then kind of trail off. So that was all I did for that. But you really want to make sure you're ending strongly. So that's how I was able to engage parents in education of their children. And then finish, because particularly on the phone, but also over video, if you're kind of trailing off, they might not be able to tell, are you just taking a pause or a breath, or are you actually done answering the question?
So the interview's been going great. We've been mindful of our body language. We've used the STAR method to talk about our past experiences. And it comes to the end. They turn to us and they say, do you have any questions for us? I feel like I always sit there awkwardly. What types of questions should we be asking instead of that awkward pause?
You always want to make sure you ask a couple of interviews, because there's nothing like having a great interview and then you don't have any questions and it's just kind of this awkward trailing off. You wrap up a couple minutes early. So always make sure you have a few prepared. You want to make sure to ask about things that you couldn't easily find. So it's fine to go off of maybe there's something on the job description that's really interesting and you can say, oh, you know, I saw that this was part of this role. Can you tell me more about this? It's fine to ask those sorts of questions, but make sure you're not asking something that's really easy to find on their website, because you want to make sure you can show, I've done some research, or, oh, I saw that you had started this initiative at your company. I'm really interested in this. You know, how would this role work into that initiative? So asking those kind of more layered questions, I think also really good questions can come out organically. So for example, when you're in the interview, if they're asking you a lot of questions about a particular topic, or they're telling you something about their company, the job, when they're talking to you, asking them to elaborate on that. What's a typical day in that position like?
what would be challenges, opportunities in that role. I think it's good to ask about what are people enjoy about the workplace, because that's oftentimes an indicator of culture. So if they're all saying similar things, or it takes them a long time to come up with something they enjoy about the job, that's also another piece of feedback you can take. And then no matter what you ask, I would always ask them, what's the next step or what's their timeline? Because they should hopefully tell you, but they don't always remember to do that. And that gives you a better sense if they tell you, okay, well, we're hoping to make a decision in the next 2 weeks. So if it's been more than 2 weeks, then it's fine for you to reach out and say, I'm really interested, just wanted to know where you were in the process, versus you wondering, is it okay to contact them? I don't want to bug them yet, but I don't know when their timeline is.
So it's a good idea at the end of the interview to ask what the process is, so that you know if they you should have heard from them in a certain amount of time, that it's acceptable to respond to them after that amount of time has passed.
Yes.
Okay, great. That makes sense. When you are asking questions, should you target just one person in the group that you're interested in hearing from, or should they just be broadly focused to the group? Or
I think it would be a mix. So if there's specific things that you're really interested in and there's someone on the interview panel that you know would be able to best answer that, you can direct that question to them. But you don't want to have questions directed to only one individual. So yes, you can definitely have a couple for specific individuals, but you do want to have some that incorporate the entire group.
Great. Thank you, ladies. Any last minute tips we haven't covered?
I think just some other quick tips, kind of based on type of interview. For Skype interviews, what I would always do is make sure people look at their camera, because typically people look at their computer screen, which is good to do to check in once in a while, see their reactions. But if you're doing that to the interviewers, it looks like you're looking down the whole time. So I think putting like a sticky note, something by your webcam computer to make sure it looks like you're making eye contact with the interviewers. So that's my best tip for Skype interviews. And then for group interviews, I think one thing that's really important is, again, have a lot of questions prepared in case they have time for that. And also, you want to make sure that you stand out so you have time to speak, but you don't want to seem overly competitive or talk over someone else, because sometimes group interviews, they may ask everyone the same question. So you can build off of other people's answers, but you don't want to seem like you're putting down anyone. Or it may be more kind of a free-for-all, like they ask a question and then people just respond. So in that case, again, you don't need to be the first person every time, but you want to make sure you're assertive enough that you have answered some questions by the end of it, and you're not just kind of sitting, taking a backseat.
In regards to telephone and Skype interviews, one thing to kind of take advantage of, because you're not in person, is your ability to have information or like helpful hints or tools set out or around your computer to kind of help you and trigger your memory. Because those first interviews can be really nerve-wracking and anxiety-provoking. So having, you know, reminders or things that you know, accomplishments you want to talk about, just having a note card with a few words on it to really trigger that memory is going to be helpful in making your answers smooth.
Check out our bonus mock interview episode for more interviewing pointers in action. Thanks again, and join us for our final episode, Evaluating Options and Sending Acknowledgements. And remember, no matter what part of the job search cycle you're in, the Career Center is always available for questions, check-ins, and assistance. You can reach them at career-center@education.wisc.edu or 608-262-1755, or visit their website to fill out an appointment form at careercenter.education.wisc.edu.